So you may have heard podcasts previously, which are very much focused around tarot. And I'm really comfortable sharing tarot. I've written a lot of blogs, shared a lot of videos, and a fair number of podcasts now. This is something different. This is a podcast about rune lore. And I am more passionate about rune lore than I am about tarot, but I genuinely struggle to share this information. So this is me definitely feeling a little bit less comfortable with recording this. Basically, I teach rune lore and Norse shamanism, and I have done now for about, so basically as long as I have tarot. But it tends to be very much within small groups, and I tend to teach very much just within the group situation. But every October, I hold a weekend retreat, an in-depth weekend, and it is a time for all of us to really reflect on what have I taught in the previous year and what would you like more of in the coming year. And one of the things that was asked for by several people was more recorded information, either by blog or podcast, about the rune lore. So if you are one of those people that asked me, thank you. I'm so excited to be doing this. I'm really going to try. I've got all my notes out in front of me. They're quite higgledy-piggledy. And this month, I am teaching all about the Norse deity or the Norse god Loki. So I wanted to share a little bit about Loki, a little bit about how I see his role in the Norse mythology, and about how we can work with Loki and why we would work with Loki. I am not particularly comfortable or good, if I'm honest, at retelling the Norse mythology. If you're interested in reading about the Norse mythology, do get hold of Neil Gaiman's rather wonderful book, Norse Mythology. Or if you're super keen, grab yourself a copy of the Poetic Edda, because that's where you'll find the core information on Norse mythology. And what I'm sharing here is subjective. It is my opinions, my views, my understanding. I am not claiming them to be complete in any way, which is an interesting starting point because to me, history, stories are subjective. They are told from a point of view, and there is usually an agenda or a reason for recording them. And I would argue that the Norse mythology is Odin's tale. Odin is the self-styled All-Father and certainly presents as the leader of the Aesir, or the main family of Norse gods. So I would argue that when we think about Loki, we have to think about who are these stories recorded for? Whose narrative are we actually reading here? And we are reading Odin's narrative. And when we look at Odin, he goes on lots of adventures. He does a fair number of fairly crazy things. He takes gambles. He takes risks. He doesn't always act in a fair or kind manner. Certainly, when he bound one of Loki's children, Fenrir the wolf, he lied about that. And he was binding Fenrir because he thought or perceived that Fenrir would be a threat in the future. The same with the banishing of Hel and the Midgard serpent. Neither Hel nor the Midgard serpent had actually done anything at this point. Odin was preempting something he thought they might do. So to me, that's not particularly an honourable way to act. I just really want to bring that in here. It's very easy to read the myths or to read stuff online and to see Loki as evil or dangerous or chaotic. And I really want to come back from that. I really want to look at Loki. Yes, he is a trickster energy. To me, Loki is about change, and I've done quite a lot of research about the trickster energy and change, and I came across this wonderful quote. The whole point of the trickster, this article was saying, is when the ego is at its height, the trickster takes a little pin and bursts our bubble of greatness. And linked into that was this concept that, that the trickster is the ego demolitions expert. So you, the trickster brings that, when we are feeling too certain, the trickster brings in doubts. And if, for example, you look at the story of Balder, Balder is the sun god, but Balder is the son of Odin and Frigg. And he has dreams that he's going to die. Well, he's the sun god. The sun god is meant to die at midsummer. That is the natural turn of things. But Odin and Frigg, trying to remain, keep the status quo, and of course trying to protect their child, they decide to do whatever they can to preserve their golden boy, to preserve the status quo. And Frigg, she's a very powerful goddess, she extracts a promise from every living thing that it will not hurt Balder. That is every living thing except Mistletoe. Because Frigg just overlooked Mistletoe and thought it was too small. So it's Loki that crafts a dart out of Mistletoe, puts it in the hand of the blind Aesir, and guides his hand that it may kill Balder. And I just, you know, I can't think of a better demonstration of this bursting of the ego, because you've got Odin, the Allfather's most beautiful, most golden child, standing there encouraging all the gods to throw things at him because he feels invincible. And that is the moment that Loki kills him, because that is the point of the trickster. And when we start to look at it from that angle, I do not think that Loki is evil. I think Loki is just inciting change, and change is growth. And I've got this, again, this concept, he stirs the pot, he creates instability, he disrupts convention. That seems negative to those people that are really winning out, that are really comfortable with the status quo. But we live in a state of flux. We need to grow. We need to change. We need to adapt. And Loki jumps into our lives when we are trying to preserve certainty. My big advice for you with working, if you get drawn or feel that you need to work with Loki, if you are getting small seeds of doubt, if you are starting to question, roll with it. Don't ignore it. To me, the more that we try and embed ourselves in certainty, the harder that Loki or the trickster energy will hit us. So roll with the doubt, go with the skepticism, question, allow there to be movement and compromise, because that's when we can work with Loki and have a smoother experience. Loki to me is neither good nor bad. He just is change. With many of the deities, there is a certain expectation that working with them is likely to bring a particular direction, if you like. With Odin, we can expect riddles. With Tyr, we can expect truth. With Frigg, we can expect practical hard work, but some nurturing and mothering in there as well. The problem with Loki is don't have any expectations. And that, I think, is why when I say mankind, I don't want to say men, but mankind, struggle with Loki. Because give up all thoughts of control if you're working with Loki. It will change instantly. The only certainty of working with Loki is uncertainty. But that is how we grow and that is how we change. When I look at the stories of Loki, and there are so many, you know, he's in so many of the Norse mythology. Clearly we are told that Loki is Odin's blood brother. To me, they are good friends. To me, I look at them as being on many jaunts and journeys together. It's just that this is Odin's tale. So when the shit hits the fan a little bit, it's Loki that is scapegoated. Loki has a mother who is an Aesir goddess and a father who is a Jotun. He's liminal. He's on the outskirts. He's around the boundaries. He doesn't quite fit in, and yet he's Odin's blood brother. He's the scapegoat. really look at the stories carefully. When we look at the story when Loki cut Sif's hair, her beautiful, beautiful golden hair, he cut it on a whim. It was a stupid thing, yeah? But as he tried to make good his rather stupid act through his creating, oh gosh, my words have gone now, by working with the dwarves, by trying to create things that would repair or repay the cutting of Sif's hair, the Aesir in fact got Odin's spear, Frey's ship, Frey's golden boar, Odin's arm rings, and Thor's hammer. I would say that when we look at that story, Loki paid for, then more than paid, and in fact the Aesir walked away much, much better off. Loki wasn't evil in that story. He made good. Even when we look at the story of Skarve, and we look at how Skarve's father was killed, it was Odin and Loki and other gods that were out when they met Skarve's father. Yes, very much it was Loki that was involved in, you know, not having a lot of forethought, not making good decisions. But as Odin, as Loki was flying back chased by Skarve's father, it was the other gods, it was Odin and the other gods that lit the fire that killed Skarve's father. And yet it is always Loki that is seen as the troublemaker, always Loki that is seen as the evil one. And you know, I am calling it like it is. I just don't think that's the case. When we think about Loki's brood, Loki's children, Loki's three children, I know that there are other children, but I'm here talking particularly about Hel, Fenrir, and the World Serpent. Odin heard, again, Odin and his prophecies, Odin heard that Loki's brood would bring around Ragnarok, the end of the gods. So Odin decided to preempt that and to either bind or banish Loki's brood before they could cause trouble. And even Odin himself, there's a suggestion, particularly in the Binding of Fenrir, where he lied, manipulated, and tricked Fenrir, where he was worried that perhaps the fact that he'd you know, acted in bad faith would be one part of bringing about Ragnarok. And you know, when we think about Loki is perceived to have led Ragnarok and a concept of revenge, what father wouldn't want revenge on the god that took a preemptive strike on three of his children, his blood brother, no less? So to me, I don't see either Odin or Loki as evil or bad. I see that they are both change makers. Odin likes to plan. He likes to think ahead. He likes to work with prophecy. He likes to work with the runes. He likes to have a sense of what is likely to happen and try and preempt anything. Whereas Loki is the trickster. He creates change in the moment by being chaotic, by being the sort of energy that nobody can predict what will happen next. Possibly one of my favorite stories, possibly the story where nobody can predict what the hell Loki was going to do next, was the building of the wall around Asgard, where the gods, they were planning to trick basically the builder that came forth and offered to build the wall around Asgard. They set him targets that they genuinely believed were unachievable, and offered him Freya's hand in return, because they truly believed that this guy, this builder, could not meet their terms. Little did they know that this builder was a Jotun who damn well could. And so he was working there with his horse, and it was Loki, of course, that was called to create change, to get the gods out of the trouble that they were all in. How would Loki get in the way of this problem? Well, Loki's a shapeshifter. That's his, you know, he doesn't really, if you really read the mythology, he's a quick thinker in the moment, and he's a shapeshifter. Those do seem to be his main sort of skills, gifts, or if we dare step into Marvel, superpowers. So Loki shapeshifts into a female horse and tempts the builder's horse away. And without his horse, the builder cannot finish the wall in time. Nobody could have predicted that. So that to me is the energy of Loki. It's not good, it's not bad, but it's unexpected. That's the chaotic level. And I think most people get uncomfortable with that level of chaos. When it comes to Loki, some of us, I think, will love working with Loki. I certainly do. I'm really comfortable with Loki. Interestingly, I am much less comfortable working with Heimdall. And of course, Heimdall and Loki are they're enemies. They do not get on. And so I am quite comfortable with that chaos nature of Loki. I don't really feel, particularly with the shamanics, that I'm ever quite in control. I just try and guide things as best I can. That's my job. As soon as I think I am in control, I'm working from ego, and that's when I'm sure as hell going to get slapped in the face by Loki. So I try not to go to that place. And so I actually find the rigidity in the structure of Heimdall quite uncomfortable. So people that are naturally more comfortable with control and organization, and there's no good or bad here, there's no hierarchy, there's just difference, they're going to be less comfortable with Loki. To me, Odin tries to create certainty. Heimdall tries to work with certainty, and Loki is doubt. And the two are quite opposing energies. I would be working with Loki always with caution, I have to be honest, particularly if I'm working with a client, always with caution. But to me, I would be working with Loki when I wanted to bring change into my life. When I was feeling doubtful about how anything in my life was, when I was being, when I was questioning how something is in my life and I wanted to change it, then I would work with Loki. But I would always work with a very open mentality that I don't know what it will change to. Loki, I think of as wildfire. It can easily get out of hand. And I think when working with Loki, we have to be honest. I think to a degree, when I'm working with clients, I'm always working with Loki. It is my job to be brutally honest and to hold space and encourage a client to allow change. Because nobody would book in with me, particularly as a shaman, if they didn't want or need change on some level. So I do feel that that is there. But I think it is about being very honest, very adaptable, and not allowing, if we're choosing to work with Loki, not allowing ourselves to go into ego. When I think about Loki, I think about trickster energy, but I also think about the fool. When I think about fool, the fool, not just in tarot, but perhaps through history, perhaps as an archetype. The fool is someone, I believe, who used humour to express things that were unexpressible. Particularly when we think about the fool to the king, the fool would have used humour to be honest to the king. In modern day, if I really wanted to know what was going on in the world, I am less likely to put on the BBC News. I am more likely to put on a political comedy show, because I think that the comedians are more likely to be able to express honesty than the news readers. And it is, of course, Shakespeare quote, the fool doth think he's wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. And I tend to think whether Odin's friendship or his blood-brother relationship with Loki was a very wise choice. Because I may have my problems with Odin, but he knows what he's doing, really, does Odin. And I think he knew that he needed the truth, the trickster, the fool, the changeable, the ego demolitions expert as his blood brother to keep him in place. I think it was a conscious choice by Odin. And I find that there is a lot of reflection between Odin and Loki and Loki and Odin. So I am always cautious when I work with Loki, but I would rather work with him than be surprised by him. So there we go. I've done it. I've done my first podcast on rune law. For those of you that asked, there you go. Haha, I've done it. You better be there on Wednesday when we are working with Loki in the barns. I hope you enjoyed it. Next month is November, and I will be sharing a podcast on hell. Not the Christian hell, but the Norse deity hell. She's one of my patrons, so that is going to be a really easy one for me to talk about. I hope that's been helpful, and I look forward to sharing another one next week.